Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And it's been a while. It has been a while. Stan Dale coming up just momentarily. Welcome to Hagman. It's Tuesday, January 17, 2023. Well, the clown show, the whatever you want to call it, at Davos underway. Interestingly, Klaus Schwab and George Soros, no shows. Klaus Schwab, a show. And then left, and then you had a whole bunch of people supposedly didn't show because of some who knows why or whatever, about 400 people there, about 5,000 police and military assets there to guard the elite of the elite, you know, those Muppet heads, those mopes that walk around thinking that they own the world, which they don't, and, they'll get theirs. All right, so there's that. Interesting stuff going on. By the way, that the absence of people there at Davos, the last time that happened was the week of 9/11/01. Just saying. Look, I don't know. And one more thing about that. Why in the hell, the attendance forms were leaked. Why in the hell do you have Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, going over to Davos? I want to know why. Why do you have the Republic? Anyone in office going there, in my view, are treasonous putzes, okay, that need to be taken out of circulation. Read that however you want to. I don't really care. And of course, we can't go any further. I'm just going to go right to this because you know what? Okay. I don't want to hear this from my neighbors or anybody. This is what you look, I know the election was stolen, but if you voted for this moron, this vegetable, this brain dead embarrassment of a person, shame on you. Have you seen this? Eric the Tech and I were laughing our butts off yesterday about this. If I did this, first of all, I wouldn't do this. But if this was me, I hope you would skewer me to the ends of the earth and make fun of me because this is beyond belief. So the backstory, real quick, or the context, Biden was at the MLK dinner or event yesterday, and he forgot the name of a grandchild or relative of Martin Luther King Jr., but yet acknowledged her birthday. And, I'll just show it to you. Here it is. Watch this. 30 seconds.
Congratulations today to the honorees, including your wife, who I understand is a birthday today. Well, look, my wife has a rule in her family. When somebody's birthday, you sing happy birthday. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Valen. Happy birthday to you. Well.
Not quite the same as Marilyn Monroe singing to Jack Kennedy, but I digress. All right. Stan Dale from standale.com. It's been a while. How you doing, my brother?
Good to be here again. I guess I'll follow up that Biden birthday song with an article about Biden and his negotiations with Saudi Arabia with Mohammed bin Salman.
Yes, I was looking at, by the way, go to standale.com, folks, go and support Stan by way of his Patreon while he's still got it. You know, some of us, we're not allowed in that club. That's okay. It's okay. But no, support him. Support him and be a part of it because you will not be sorry for his intellectual product over the meetings he has. Okay, go ahead, sir. Slide 58.
Yeah, Eric, put that up. That just shows there's a link underneath there about this whole article. But what we're talking about here is that the Saudi leaders say they are ready to normalize relations with Israel and the United States. 2 years after the signing of the Abraham Accords, And for the first time in history, the senior leadership of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia say they are, in fact, now ready to normalize relations with the state of Israel. But first, say the Saudis, they need to normalize relations with Washington, which are more strained and tense than any time in the 8 decades since the U.S.-Saudi alliance began. And we have President Biden, I hate to call him President, Joe Biden, negotiating on our behalf, and he can't even remember names, you know, for 5 minutes or 5 seconds even, like he was just singing that birthday song. We're in a bad situation, and the Saudis have made very close deals with China at the moment. And allegedly, the Saudis are against Iran, but I think Iran at this point is sending, you know, envoys over to Saudi Arabia to talk about a peace deal between the two of them. And that makes me think about the Davos meeting. I'm wondering if the Iranians are planning a, you know, a 9/11 type attack on the people responsible for the killing of Qasem Soleimani a couple of years back. But something big, I think, is happening. I think you're right, Doug. It's there's something in the wind when that many attendees, nearly half of them, bow out. They're either afraid to be at that or they've got to be at home when things start to happen, wherever it is.
Yeah, you know, there was talk. Okay, so not that I have any really. Well, there was talk of a monetary crisis. Okay, I received a call last night that, hey, there was some mumblings of, you know, some economic collapse, some world shaking event, and people needed to be in their places. So whatever that means, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. Stan, these people that go to these meetings that think they run the world, I mean, really? And you got bobblehead Biden up there, you know, singing to, I think her name was, I think that's what her name was. Okay, so, yeah. All right, yeah. So, yeah, there's something not right here.
Well, I've been getting emails for the past 2 weeks telling us, you know, if you got money in the bank, get it out and put it in these safe havens. I don't know if there is such a thing, but that would indicate that there is a movement happening globally to the world economic system, moving us toward a totally digital currency, at which time your bank will probably tell you, okay, your money is really ours, so we're going to put you into a digital system that you have to have a digital ID to get it. And so that's where we sit at the moment. Okay, now let's have a look here at another kind of not so threatening article, slide 59. A decades-old nuclear bomb is set to be disposed at Kirtland Air Force Base, Albuquerque, New Mexico. After 6 years of sitting in storage, a massive inert nuclear bomb is now at Kirtland Air Force Base for this final disposal. The 25-ton MK-17 Legacy Nuclear Weapon System Trainer was built in 1954 at the height of the Cold War. If I lived in that area, you know, I'd be thinking, I wonder if they got all of the other stuff that's probably aging out, because a lot of our missile silos have got rust in parts of them, and have not that defense structure has not been updated completely. So when I saw this, I thought, right, that were my backyard, that 25-ton thing is not a 25-kiloton, but a 25-ton. It would make a big hole somewhere and put radiation if it went off. But how would you like to be one of those guys trying to move that sucker?
I'd be trying to put that in the back of my pickup. I could use that. All right.
Yeah. Okay. And in slide 60, Eric, SpaceX will likely launch a Starship in 2 months. This 390-foot rocket, a 95-foot rocket built by Elon Musk's firm SpaceX, is ready to take off. The company shares aerial photos of the rocket on its orbital launch pad at its Texas facility in Boca Chica, Texas. SpaceX is planning to carry humans to space using a two-stage spacecraft composed of Starship, the passenger carrying section, and the Super Heavy rocket booster. And if you look, you can see there in that picture, you click on it, you can see at the top, of course, is where the crew is. And down beneath them, about halfway, you see a kind of a delineation between the bottom of the missile or the rocket and the one carrying the crew. This is testing something, because they want to be taking settlers to Mars. That's Elon Musk's end objective. He thinks Earth is so doomed that he wants to set up a civilization on Mars. That's a big spacecraft. It's going to be interesting to see how that launch goes. Today, I want to talk about the sun a bit and earthquakes and volcanoes. So if we go down to, let's go down to slide 41, Eric, a picture of the solar active regions and magnetic field lines of the sun today. Now, what you see there are these bright white areas, which are active regions of the sun, and they are very active. The sunspots that make these bright areas are 91% greater in number than were forecast by NASA and NOAA. So it's nearly double what they forecast. And I've been warning for several months, well, a couple of years even, that this solar cycle is going to have surprises for us. Now, look at this image. On the left, you have two big, well, maybe three big bright areas, and they move from left to right on the screen as they move on the sun. Now, come out of that picture and go over to slide 40, to the green picture, which is the heliographic picture of the sun from the Earth. And this is made by two satellites, not three. And it the black areas on the left and right of it are because one of the satellites failed a number of years ago. But what we can see in this, you look at the zero longitude down there at the middle of the screen going up, is that within a day, these two, in fact, even now, these two bright areas you see on the left side there are going to move into position aimed at the Earth. If they were to fire off massive coronal flares or CMEs, X-10 flares or whatever, they would be hitting us. The edge of them would hit the Earth for sure. And if it happens in the next day, day and a half, it'll be a direct hit. We could have a halo or a circular hit of the whole planet by something emitted from these two areas. And then they'll move on off to the right, and within a week they'll be over on the edge of the screen on the right there, where you can see some white at the lower left, lower right side. But more stuff is coming. Now, why is this of interest? Well, you and I both know that electromagnetic pulses from nuclear bombs is one cause of destroying the grid, but electromagnetic storms, not pulses, from the sun can last hours, and they are totally going to destroy the grid during that time. There's going to be fires as arcs leap out and short circuit into the ground and catch fields on fire and houses and stuff like that. I mean, even these lines coming into your house from the grid will be carrying up to 20,000, maybe 25,000 volts when this solar EMP comes, and it will come eventually. And that can start a fire in your breaker box. It can arc out to the walls and catch the wood on fire, because it's not in a millionth of a second like with a nuke. This is a duration thing that lasts for hours. And the last time that happened like that was in 1859 in the Carrington event. And telegraph operators, their hands were burnt severely by huge arcs that leapt out of them and burned them. So I'm telling you that the potential for catching fire in your breaker box in your house is very great if we get a solar EMP, which is the kind of stuff we're looking at right now in the solar cycle, and we're not even to the peak of it yet. So get your EMP shield. You can read about it up on the top of our page or on Doug's page there. I think you have a link to that, Doug.
We do.
This is important. You don't want your house to burn, even if you're not concerned about saving the electronics in your house, like your freezer, your fridge, and computers and stuff, and phones. If you're not worried about that, that's fine. But if you want to keep your house from burning down, you need to get one of these on your breaker box. And we suggest you get some of these little fire extinguisher things about that size there, you know, like that, and several of them, and place them near the breaker box where you can put out the fire. You might need a hammer or something to break through the drywall, but you got to be able to put out that fire if it starts anyway. So that's my advice at the moment. I'm feeling very uneasy about the sun's behavior right now. It's worse than I had thought in the past. So, and another thing about that, look at slide 38, Eric the Tech, and click on slide 38 first, the picture, to see the picture of it. And what we're going to see in that is three views of the magnetic field of the sun when it's changing its polarity. The sun, every solar cycle, every 11.5 years, flips the North and South poles so that it's up, the magnetic field's upside down. But what happens is, say the North Pole on the left side here, where the green is at the top, that hemisphere of the sun can flip 2 months before the one on the bottom flips. And if it does, you have two South Pole, or, you know, like two South Poles, two purples at once. Going to the right in the pictures, you see where they start to flip. They're angling off to left and right until they finally reverse where the purple is on the top when the change is complete. But what we're seeing, on the article beneath that, it says sun's reverse polarity field may affect Earth's climate. Well, duh. Our magnetic field on Earth is weakening greatly at the moment, and they've even had to, in the last 2 years, realign magnetic fields or magnetic lines on a Florida airport because magnetic north was too far, you know, to a change too far from where it should be. Now, in this article, in the text there, you can see, Eric, sun's reverse polarity field may affect Earth's climate. Astrophysicists have now discovered an unusual pattern in the reversal of solar magnetic fields, particularly in the sun's pole, a phenomenon that shapes and modulates the radiations emanating from it. That's magnetic fields that are going to impact our weakening magnetic field. And this can allow cosmic rays and high, you know, like gamma rays and various other types of UV rays to penetrate the Earth down to the surface. This affects, of course, heating, and it affects krill in the ocean, you know, how fast they multiply. An international team, including scientists from the Physical Research Laboratory in Ahmedabad, Gujarat, I think that's in India, detected the unusual pattern of reversal of magnetic fields in the sun during the ongoing 11-year solar cycle. They showed that the sun's southern hemisphere reversed its polarity in mid-2013, whereas the reversal of the field in its northern hemisphere occurred 2.5 years later, after a sustained period of near zero field strength. Now, when the sun is very active and putting out, you know, heavy solar wind and flares and coronal mass ejections, this shields the Earth from deep space radiation. When your sunspot activity is low, it's when we have higher increases of cosmic radiation penetrating the Earth. Now, this article tells you, during these polar reversals, things can go awry. I don't know that I have that. I mean, yes, I do. Slide 50, Eric, slide 50. Click on the picture. Now, this is a picture of the magnetic fields of the sun yesterday evening. And you can see here that the purple and the green, which is, you know, like north and south, are skewed to the right in this picture. And it's creating all sorts of, you know, turbulence in the plasma inside both hemispheres of the sun. Fortunately, the purple field down there, that pole is moving at the same angle as the one on the green at the top. For a while, they weren't lined up. The bottom one, this purple one, was stable down here, and then the green one was moving where it is now, to the side, which created sideways turbulence inside the sun. It really was kind of an unhappy time. And you can see there, if you zoom up or just click the mouse, you can zoom up and see that these magnetic field lines, whether they be purple or green or white, do indicate where the magnetic fields are in the sunspots or the bright areas. And you can tell from those that the linkage, you know, the leap over, say in the upper right-hand corner, the leap over to the other pole where it's crossing, shows that it's just unstable at the moment. So it's something we need to watch.
Wow. That, okay. Whew.
Now, in slide 39, Eric, we have a 133-day time-lapse of the sun that shows the stellar activity from August 12th through December 22nd, 2022. The time-lapse is comprised of tens of thousands of individual photographs taken by NASA's Solar Dynamic Observatory, SDO. That's the one I go to get a lot of this data, which has begun, which has been focused on the sun for nearly 13 years. The result was one of the richest and biggest repositories of solar image data available to humankind. That's right. And you've got the video up there going now, Eric, and that just shows you what they've collected, various images of the activity of the sun, which is quite, you know, interesting, because we are, in my opinion, approaching a very dangerous point in the sun's you know, life cycle, and of course how it will affect Earth. It's very active, as you can see from that that video rotating around there. Okay. Wow. Now let's go to slide 36, Eric. Click on the picture. And now that is a picture of what we call solar irradiance. What that means is the amount of light of all frequencies coming from the sun. You know, how bright is it in all these frequencies? And if you look at what's shown here, you'll see a picture I've embedded in there. You can click on it and zoom it up. This is from January the 9th. And that picture is right next to a very tall blue spike. That tall blue spike is, let's see, what do we call that? 6 milliwatts, sorry, per square meter, or maybe six. Well, it's MW. I think that means mega over there, but it might be milli. Anyway, it spikes, and something 6 or over is quite interesting because the brilliance of the sun is bright on that day, which was on the 9th of January at 6:45 in the evening over in England at the observatory. Okay, so this is a place that I get, you know, solar radiance is one of the sites I use to see how bright the sunlight is, checking for increased luminance in the ultraviolet, which hurts us, you know, our skin and eyes when that happens. Now go over to slide 37. That's the last of sunspot stuff. As you can see here in slide 37, there is a red line on the graph showing what NASA and NOAA had predicted would be the number of sunspots in this 25th solar cycle. And as you can see, as of yesterday, the arrow points at maybe about 90, it looks like, 90 for sunspot number, which is 91% higher than predicted. And the way you do that, just drop straight down from where the arrow is down to the red line. And you can see in that red line that it's nearly double what they thought. So it surprised them, and it's, you know, to me, I expected it. But anyway, that's what they've done. They've now recalibrated all their equations to allow for this sudden increase, so that they, when they publish it, it's now going to look like they always predicted it. But that's not true. The purple line on the graph shows the median line through all of these sunspots, you know, the median value of it. And that does tell you it's heading for an early maximum. I don't think I have that's it. Okay. Now that's it on sun and sunspots and poles of the sun.
So the sun is very active. I mean, in short, I don't want to downplay. I mean, it's just going nuts right now.
It is. And we've already been clipped about a week to 10 days ago by the edge of one coronal mass ejection. And it produced, you know, the predicted blackouts in various radio communication bands because of the interference that it caused in our ionosphere. You know, when these things hit our planet, they are highly charged proton particles coming from the sun, and they follow the lines of the magnetic lines of the Earth's field into both poles and down inside the Earth to our magnetic fields, which also affect, believe it or not, the terrestrial electric currents in the surface of the Earth, which are linked to clouds and cloud formations and where they go. There's a correlation between those. So it does affect our weather, you know, pretty directly and pretty quickly. Okay. Now, let's see here. Let's go to slide 42, Eric. Let's pop that up. This is the Juan de Fuca and earthquakes that it's been having in the last 30 days. You'll notice in that you can push the, you can expand it if you want to. There's yellow. And orange or reddish, and then red earthquakes. It just shows the time in which they occurred in the last week. And all the little tiny red lines, fracture lines in there, are known fault lines along this coast of Oregon and Washington and upper state California. Now, there was about 311 earthquakes in this graph around the Eureka area of California and up in the Juan de Fuca plate. We don't like to see flurries of earthquakes like this on the Juan de Fuca plate because it has been known for over 10 years that it's overdue for a Richter 9 plus earthquake and possibly breaking up of parts of the Juan de Fuca plate. And it does look like it's starting at Eureka there, and the stress lines go up a little bit in the upper left of the picture there, which indicate that foot, kind of like an elephant's foot down there, might be collapsing a bit to go underneath the American shelf, the North American shelf. If that happens suddenly, there will be tsunamis produced on shore and across the Pacific from it, if it's a Richter 9, like they say. So in addition to the sun, if you live in those areas, you know, it's time to sleep with an inner tube around your waist.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
I laugh, but it's not funny. I mean, we're going to see these things. Now, right next to that slide is a slide 43. This is looking at what's beneath Lake Taupo in North Island, New Zealand. This is important to look at because I had the dream visions. I talk about it in my dream visions page on our homepage there. You click on it and see, you know, a dream visions, where I talk about a coming Taupo eruption that I saw in dream visions, a couple of them. And others have now started to see them, Christian folk down in North Island, New Zealand. What we're seeing here is the lake in North Island. And where the orange-yellow part is where, since the last big eruption, 232 AD, which was huge, there are new domes forming, and they're rising up, and they're hot, and they're bubbling up warm water up into the Lake Taupo. In my dream vision, I saw the water was hot before the eruption occurred. And so since 232 AD, we've had these domes form, these three domes in that area. When I was seeing my dream vision, I was in the upper right-hand portion underneath the Taupo town thing coming down. I was on the edge there in a motel. You can see two little knobbies there right across from the word Taupo eruption in that graphic inset. I was there, and I saw all this, the hot water, and then I stood back in the air and watched this whole area sink and explode. That whole area in dotted outline sank, and an eruption occurred that was huge, killing a lot of people. So I'm not in New Zealand now, so I don't care if they deny me access to the country. That's what the Bureau of Tourism told me, never come back, because I was talking about this. But my talking about it did get them a new budget for their equivalent of the USGS, the GNS, money to hire the German Yellow Submarine to go down there and plot these areas and to put in new sensors all around that lake area, so they can have an early warning system to save people. And I'm thankful for that, even though I'm not welcome to come back down there by the government.
Thanks, but stay out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, I announced this when I was down there in the motel. I was with Art Bell on his show in the States. And, you know, it didn't dawn on me that there would be a big listening audience in New Zealand. So I got the word pretty quick.
Dear Stan, yeah. Okay.
You were mentioning earlier, I'm just going to digress here a second, about Patreon. Have you been warned by Patreon at all for your content?
Oh no. They sent us a notice saying because of our patriotic encouragement of January 6th, of course, I'm making it. No, they said because of your position with respect to January 6th and your encouragement of criminal, treasonous, seditious activity, we are canceling your account. You're no longer part of this thing, and goodbye.
They chopped off your Patreon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Wow.
So, which is no worries, folks, because as you know, we're changing things up. Eric the Tech, we had a meeting the last time. We're going it alone because it's we are getting hit. I'm telling you, we're getting hit all the time because of the content we put out. So bottom line is, you know, I expect to be canceled everywhere within the next 30 days. So,
well, if you get done, I'll get done too. Let me know how you replace Patreon, how you set that up, because I can divert my people that are on Patreon over to maybe a Rumble or some other site.
Well, it would be what we do is we have Eric the Tech can explain it. Anyway, the same people who were with Patreon received an email. It's just not via Patreon. And you know, now we have more freedom. Before, we couldn't use the platform the way it was intended because different levels and such. Now we're building something. Eric the Tech, I should say, more importantly, is building something that is going to be quite useful and quite informative as we progress down this very perilous time in which we live. So,
all right, well, we'll stay in touch with you and Eric and see how to navigate through this.
Yeah, he's only charging me like $15,000. I don't know if that's a
right.
He's saying, well, where's the money? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Put it on the never, never, as they say in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but here's the thing. I'm glad because I don't like to deal with morons and meatheads, people like that. And I want them to starve. I want them to go out of business. I want them to starve. And I want them to rue the day that they thought they could, look, they're a private company. I get that. And everything's okay with private companies saying you can't do this or that unless you're a Christian baker. And then it's not okay. You know, so if you get the meaning of that, but okay. Don't get me started, brother.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah. I'm holding my breath over you. I know they're coming after all of us. But
They are. And you know, I was told it's going to be a matter of time before all the platforms. When I say all the platforms, I'm not talking about certain video platforms and stuff, but all the platforms or the monetary stuff is going to go. So, and that's all right. You know what? God's got this, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, we'll figure a way. Yep. I'm sure the good Lord will show us.
Yep.
Let's talk about we're talking about the Illuminists of the world that have been organizing this one world government. Eric, I'm going to go to slide 48. It says 48. It should be 46 on the left there, and then 47, and then 48. I just misnumbered them. But that whole row there, I'm starting at the left with the Great Seal of the United States. Click on that image. And the reason I'm bringing this out again, this was in my Cosmic Conspiracy book written first in 1978, and I haven't changed the first 200 pages of that book at all in all the editions. But what you can see here, down at the bottom even, is it's an analysis of the MDCCLXXVI written in Roman numerals on the bottom of that pyramid. And you see the all-seeing eye, the great light, and there are 13 steps, 13 letters, and two forked tongues. And he says there, the Novus Ordo Seclorum. Now, a Latin student would look at that and say, oh, okay, Novus, new, Ordo, order, and Seclorum, sacred order. But that's not it. If you look at the right word, Seclorum, between the C and the L, and break it apart as the Illuminists do, it's sec lorum, which means novus ordo, a new order favoring the whip or the lash, a dictatorial order. This is on our Great Seal. And if you move down to the text at the bottom, you can see how I've analyzed the Roman numerals for 1776. And in the Babylonian equivalent, 1110, it's, you know, it's like Babylonian number, which is a base 60 monetary and numbering system, and add 666 to that, and you get 1776. And I explain it as I go down through there, and you can see that 666 then is written into that great seal, which is extraordinary if you think about it. And if you go over to slide 47 up to the right there, the Masons, Freemasons have a way of making a coin that has, you know, two sides, obviously. One side, they put the front of the Great Seal, And on the backside, they put the back of the Great Seal. Now, they also do this with other messages they want to put in these coins so that people that don't know better will look at one side and then the other and just see one message on either side. But when you spin the coin, as they do like that on the table, and it spins, what you see is a combination of the front and the back sides of that coin. And this is the image you would get if you put the Great Seal of the United States on the front and back of a coin and spun it around. Now, in this image here, at the top of it, you see the three emblematic lights of the Freemasons, code, I guess. Now, the Bible is called the Freemasons. The Bible, the square and the compass, and also called the jewels of the lodge. All right, what we're seeing here is that you spin that coin and you get this order, you know, looking at us, and you see the wings of the eagle, which could be a phoenix bird, rising up out of the ashes in front of the pyramid. And so it's an old order that favors the whip or the lash, now rising to power. Now, in one of the documents I read, it was in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which was a spurious document, wasn't written by Jewish people at all. It was written in Russia by a Russian general and used in Germany in World War II to persecute the Jews. But in that book, one of the things that they said in their plan for a world order, whoever wrote it, is that at the end, they would appoint one man to run their order, and they would put three close advisors to him who have the ability to kill him should he step out of line and become a dictator not following their orders. And if you look at this picture we're looking at here, at the eye at the top, that triangle, that would be your Antichrist, and next to him are three stars close to him to take him out should he step out of line. Now, go over to slide 48 on the right, Eric, the map there. And this is whether this works out to be the way they organize the earth, or the Antichrist organized the earth or not, I don't know. But in 1972, I believe it was, the Club of Rome published a report on the limits to growth. And in there, they put their model, how their computer had analyzed all of the different cultures of the world. And they divided the world up into 10 socioeconomic political domains, 10 kingdoms, as spoken of in the book of Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And this map may change, where the United States and maybe South America may both disappear from the map, depending upon how they're affected by a large burst of light from the sun that is predicted in the Revelation and in the Old Testament, I think in possibly Isaiah. But part of the planet is going to be cooked, burned, like a third of it. And I suspect that, you know, on the left of the screen, zones 1 and 6 may be damaged so severely that they're not part of the government, which will be formed over here on the right. And if I understand it correctly, and this is what Hal Lindsey has said all along, is that in area 2, the green there, that on the right part of it there in Turkey, that the Antichrist is going to have his seat there, say in Istanbul, and he'll have 5 kingdoms of Europe on the left and 5 kingdoms of the Saudis on the right, down into part of that tan area, reestablishing what the east and west legs of the old Roman Empire were. And that's what Daniel saw in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar told him about, the 2 legs of iron and then the 10 toes. So I think that will be what is left to deal with. But one of the interesting things you'll see is that the Armageddon War will be, you know, Russia and China and possibly India and Japan, maybe the Eastern Asian nations rise up against the Antichrist, and they have this battle at a little tiny spot there near the upper right corner of 7 is zone 4 is Israel. So right in the north of Israel, there is where they're going to have this big battle. Why would there be a big battle with all these other nations on the east unless they had removed themselves from the new world order, the 5 European kingdoms and the 5 Middle Eastern nations? I don't know. It just seems like maybe China won't play ball, neither will, you know, these other countries. We'll see. But
wow. You were well ahead of anyone, folks. Cosmic Conspiracy, if you don't have that book, Stan, you have books of Cosmic Conspiracy available, right?
I have about 30 copies left.
All right. So I hope you're one of the 30 lucky people to get Cosmic Conspiracy, because it's a fantastic primer. I mean, when you read it and you understand it's just a fabulous book that has as much meaning today, if not more, than when it was written initially in the mid-70s, mid to late 70s. So there it is, Cosmic Conspiracy. Go to standale.com. And while you're there, make sure you take advantage and you can get all of his intellectual products that are for sale, including Dare to Prepare from Holly, all of the books, because you need to prepare and you need the information that he's laid out for you. So there it is. And while you're there, also make sure you support Stan. Okay, go ahead, sir.
All right, thank you for that. Now, along this vein about the New World Order, New Economic Order, which may be starting in the next week or two if things go wrong with the world economy. And when I was with Dr. Teller's anti-gravity research program, and when I left them in 1973, actually they took all my files and destroyed some and gave me the rest to make me disappear from their records there when I was in Melbourne. So when I went on the run, because they were trying to put me at the bottom of a mine shaft to end my ability to talk about it.
By the way, that kind of sucks, but go ahead.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's there's a story associated with that and how it came to pass and how I knew they were fixing to disappear me. But anyway, when I did find out, I had already made plans, contingency plans, to leave Melbourne in the middle of the night on a particular day and head west to Adelaide, which was about a 10 or 12 hour road trip. But if you look at slide 53 in the picture, that is the front cover of about a 10 page pamphlet that I wrote while I was hiding in Adelaide under an assumed name. And in the text, I think the text goes the same thing, but the text says, this is a pamphlet that Stan wrote while he was on the run from the Illuminati in Adelaide, South Australia. It was decades ahead of its time. Now, I'd found the Finance Company of Australia building there in Adelaide, and it was like a fortress. There were no windows in it except the sixth floor, and they were like metal drop-down metal window shades that they could pull in to protect him from, bullets and things like that coming in. And you couldn't get in, without having an ID that belonged there. And I did sneak into the building during lunch hour. I watched, I dressed in a suit, looked like I was applying for a job as a computer technician. And I watched the people come out to go to lunch down the street, and then I waited for the gaggle of them to come back to go in through the door, because I had noticed that when that gaggle came in, the guard just automatically opened the door, didn't check everybody at once. So I got into that crowd and sneaked in. And of course, and then they stopped me once they got me inside. They said, oh, wait, what do you want? I said, oh, I'm here to apply for a job for, the computer floor up there, the sixth floor. And they kept me there, and they said, well, okay, this is not kind of the way we do it, but, we'll give you a form to fill out here. And this was the guard station there on that floor, which is a very enclosed little area, like maybe 15 feet by 15 feet, with an elevator in the guard window there, or the guard booth. And the door to his booth was open as he was talking to me through it. And I noticed that he'd been drawing with a pencil there on a scratch pad, a picture of a man wearing a hat like the Nazis used to wear, and the bill on it, thing like that. And there was some kind of medals or something on the uniform of this guy he was drawing. I said, oh, gee, that's nice. What's that? He said, oh, that's the uniform I think we're going to be wearing soon. And I said, oh, why would you need that? He says, oh, well, look, we can put up all of our staff downstairs, for several months at a time, house them here for their safety. I said, oh, who'd want to attack you guys? Oh, he says, people probably get upset with the way we're setting up this economic system. And I said, now remember, this is 1974. poor. And so I continued to, I took that research and I went home where I was staying with those people. And I wrote this pamphlet, The Shades of 1984. And on the back of it, I put what I had researched at the local library about who was on the board of directors for the Finance Company of Australia. And you'll see in slide 54 in the picture, there's a red arrow pointing at the name Adelaide Steamship Company. Why is that important? Because my control officer was Captain Sir John Williams, the CEO of Adelaide Steamship Company. So you can see when I put this out, it put the cat amongst the pigeons. Shortly thereafter, Finance Company of Australia was bankrupted and purchased into other portions of the Bank of Adelaide and kind of disappeared from public eye. Now, I even, you know, I think I told in that pamphlet that there were, at the end of every day, there were over 160 IBM locations across the planet at that time in 1974 that was downloading people's credit card information of what they bought. Online or wherever they were, as a test to see if they could monitor people's buying habits individually. And this is 1974. Now, we're a lot further along the way now, and they've regrouped, and they're about to put this world economic system on us, which will be a digital system, and you won't be able to buy or sell without that ID number or the mark of the New World Order.
And if we say this. No, I mean, if we say ain't going to happen.
Okay. If you say it's not going to happen, if you have a bank account, you can't pull the money out to use it without the number. If you have a home, you can't pay even the land taxes on it without the number. You can't buy gasoline without the number. And it'll probably be where you can't travel without the number when you go through checkpoints. You're going to be a non-person. They're going to just, inch you out that way if you refuse to take the mark. So that means, like Seventh-day Adventists have said for many years, when I was first a Christian, I studied with them. That's why they take camping trips with their families at certain times during the year, is to be sure they've got everything they need to go bush, to get out of the system, because they know they're not going to be able to accept the mark or the number. And in my garage, out here, our storeroom out here, I've got a custom-made trailer, gullwing trailer, loaded with things that we will need to survive, including a tent and bedrolls and a portable potty and saws and wire cutters to get through gates and locks and stuff if we have to go across a property to escape. So we're approaching that point. That's what's going to happen when you are cut off. You're going to be a non-person. You can't vote. You can't pay taxes. You can't earn money, et cetera, et cetera. It'll be what you can barter with like-minded people when you find a group of them, clustered together. And I'm not sure where we would go, but I've looked at a couple of places, but we got to get there from where we are here. And that means you got to get through checkpoints or either go overland, which is why you need the bolt cutters to get through chain link fences or locks or barbed wire fences.
I was thinking about when you said bolt cutters, not quite locks came to mind. I was thinking about something else, but
I think I know what you're thinking about.
Yeah,
kind of feels that way, doesn't it? That they have us by the short and curlies.
Well, okay, and I think that they learned a lot from the acquiescence of the general public to the arbitrary, capricious, and stupid mandates, from the COVID lockdowns. I think they learned a lot, but on the other side, I think a lot of people are waking up to what is going on, which is making them fearful. And when I opened up with Davos, I'm thinking to myself, and this, I could be totally incorrect on this, but what if the 5,000 guarding those so-called elite morons weren't enough? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to tell you, people I talk to, man, they're not happy. A lot of people aren't happy, and a lot of people. And look, I know, I know the realities of it. They've got all sorts of weapons and F-15s, as Biden said. You need an F-15, all right? I'll get me an F-15, all right? Or whatever. But the fact is, there's more of us than there are of them. And God, in the end, God wins. God's got this. So, you know, I'm not afraid. I'm just pissed. So
I know. So am I. Yeah. We all are.
But you did a great job. By the way, that was fascinating. Again, cosmic conspiracy. That was fascinating information about what you did in 74 and how you wrote. Man, they must love you. Your name must still be on the list somewhere.
Well, the Clinton White House, the Secretary of Defense, Jim Schlesinger, told me that they had a copy of Cosmic Conspiracy in the cabinet room there, yeah. And possibly over in the Defense Department. King Charles, when he was Prince Charles, he and his father, the Duke of Edinburgh, had a copy of my book there. And there have been a number of others. The governor of Queensland, Joe Bjelke Peterson, had a copy of my book. So they knew what was going on, and they told me through a civilian kind of messenger person that they knew that what I had written was what the plan was. So believe me, the plan of the New World Order is in that book, even though it was written in 1978. And I've updated the end of it with appendices, updates, showing people. And just as a side thing here, very quickly, then I'm going to go on to the next part of their plan. Okay. Slide 52, if you click on that, that was when I was working undercover for the FBI in 1970. So 4 years later, I didn't look quite like this. I had a beard, long hair and stuff, and was on the run. But that was how the kid looked in those days, as a spy. Now, let's go up to slides 55 through 57. First of all, slide 55 talks about Pope Francis says he would baptize aliens. Who are we to close the doors? He said, the pontiff made this out-of-world pledge during the homily on his acceptance of the post. And if you click on the picture, you see, of course, three flying saucers I put into the picture. And he's saying, everyone is welcome. And so this is a Jesuit who is now the Pope. And Jesuits hate Christians that are evangelicals. They want to either disappear them or make them come into the Catholic system, which really is not the religion of Jesus. But I know a lot of the people who are Catholics are believers and followers of Jesus. It's just that the corporate structure in Rome is really an extension of the Roman imperial model of government. When Rome fell, it disappeared into the Vatican, and its archbishops and things are governors of territories all over the world. And the pontiff, of course, is the emperor of that. So Rome is resurfacing now, a revived Roman Empire, and at the head of it is at the head of the Catholic Church and some Antichrist political figure that will probably be one of the ones I've looked at in slide 13 on that show images page. Now, in slide 56 and 57 are excerpts of the film V, as in Visitor. This was made 1983 by, I think it was Kenneth Johnson, Johnson was his last name. He wrote this series in a secular form showing what would happen when aliens approached Earth and came and said, we come in peace, we mean you no harm, and we'd like to get some of your seawater, we're short for water on our planet, and in return we'll give you, anti-gravity technology and stuff like that. And it was a lie. And the way these aliens are eventually defeated is by the blood or the dust made from the blood of a hybrid human and alien baby. Again, he's using like the blood to sprinkle over the aliens and disappear them, make them go away. Similar to the biblical stories, that the blood of Jesus is what you claim to get rid of evil. So it's a mighty witness tool, in my opinion. I've used it many times, showing small groups of people the movie and explaining as we went through it how these things related to what the prophets in the Bible have told us to watch for in this time. And as I state in the Cosmic Conspiracy, what we are about to see is a situation in the world so dire where so many crisis curves like, financial collapse of the world system, the threat of annihilation from various new types of things like COVID, you know, variants of COVID and viruses of all kinds. And we're hit by the crisis curve of drought. We're hit by the crisis curve of solar eruptions and things causing the drought and weather changes as well. We're hit by the threat of nuclear war. And there are other curves. But all of these, we've seen portions of them through the last 50, 60 years appear and then go away. But when they're coming to a head, all of them right now, this is a time when the world government now has the attention of everybody on the planet, no matter what country, religion they are. And they're going to be looking for a solution by a group of people or a person who has no political or religious, historical baggage to his history. And that person is going to appear, be appointed by our quote-unquote elder brothers in space who now make their presence known. And they're doing that now. I mean, you can see how they're lifting the lid on the secret and say, yeah, well, aliens, yeah, okay, they could be real. And they're then going to say, yes, they are here, but they mean us no harm. And they are going to appoint and monitor a world leader and give him technology to run a government that will stop nuclear weapons from being used at all. It'll make them inactive. And it'll give you secrets to growing food rapidly in various places and how to control the environment and stop pollution. All this, the people of Earth will say, right, sign me up. Well, where is this guy? And this is the great deception, I'm pretty sure, spoken of by Jesus in Matthew, that is going to come upon the earth and it will fool even the very elect, the Christians, the true Christians, no matter whether they're Jewish Christians or just Christians. It's going to fool everyone except the very elect. And I think that is going to be because the very elect won't even be here. He will have collected us off the planet at that time. I hope so anyway. Because we know we're looking for that.
Yeah.
And so that's why programs like we're doing right now, they're out there on the internet and people are downloading and copying them to their computers or disks or whatever, saving them for people who will want to know what has happened when this rapture event does happen, whether it be pre-trib or mid-trib, whatever. No need to argue about that. But This is what we're saying now is going to explain to people who are left behind. This is why, and this is who is doing it. Watch out.
Yeah. Wow. We've got about 2.5 minutes left, Stan. This has been an incredibly informative, not that any other. I mean, there's been so much information exchanged. Again, I'm going back to thinking about your time, from the picture from 70 to 74, your exploits and all of this, plus the sun. Man, a lot of information to really consider. And I'm going to thank you for that. So go ahead and take the last couple of minutes here. We got about 2 minutes and I guess I just dropped out. So
goodbye. Yeah. Oh, there you went. Yeah. Okay. Eric, slide 45 and 46 and 47 are very interesting. 47 shows how a scientist has said, look, this new star formation or a nebula we found in space proves that God said, let there be light or radiation before he put the stars and the galaxies in there. You can read the article there by clicking on that. And then another very interesting slide, 46, a lecture by Trey Smith of God in a Nutshell, giving incredible information about not only the ark that Noah built, but also about things in the book of Jasher, as he says, that's right, and Enoch. He explains a lot of ancient mysteries, and when I watched it, I was mesmerized as his talk unfolded. You go inside the rebuilt Ark of Noah over here in the eastern United States, and he takes you through to show you how everything worked, how the sons had their compartments to live in, and Noah and his wife, and how the animals, the birds were in this section, and how they built stuff for that. And there's plenty of room in that ship for the food and the animals and the water they stored on board, the fresh water. It is an amazing talk that goes beyond this onto the fallen ones and all kinds of stuff. But he references it back in Hebrew as well. So I recommend this video. Click and get to it. It's an amazing thing. And then in slide 45, it's another interesting kind of talking head for the video. But they talk about, abductions and parallel universes or dimensions, as they call it, I think. And I found that a very interesting video to watch as well. So in this day of not reading much, that's where you go.
Stan Deo from standeo.com. Bookmark that website. Support Stan in all of his endeavors. Cosmic Conspiracy as well. Stan, God bless you. Thank you so much. Talk soon.
Thank you. You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night, folks.